We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We welcome you into a conversation with West Virginia University Athletic Director Shane Lyons. I'm Tony Caridi along with the director, and this conversation is brought to you by Encova Insurance, encircling you with coverage. Well, here we are, buddy. With a new world going on, we've maintained our 6 feet distance. It's been an amazing 3 weeks initially as we jump into this. What has this been like? Because it's unprecedented for you.
Yeah, it's crazy, Tony. And you know, looking back, you talk about 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, we were in Kansas City, and that's when it all started happening. And you know, in a lot of ways, it's been slow, but in a lot of ways, it's been really fast-paced. You know, my world is just different. It's, you know, like a lot of people's world, just different because of so many decisions having to be made. There's no blueprint for this. You got to work through every issue. You're trying to make the best decisions as you can based on the circumstances that we have. New information becomes available each day, so you have to adjust your thinking as you work through that. We're getting there, but it's been a journey.
So I would imagine that every day is just a series of phone calls and video conferences, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's a new world. I mean, you know, it was phone calls to begin with, and then now we've gone into Zoom and Teams video conferencing, not only within the conference, but, you know, even internally within our staff, you know, with the NCAA committees that I'm on, that we're doing it by video conferencing. So it's just a new way of that we have to approach the business, and our communication styles have changed. So those things are different, and we just have to adjust to it in the meantime and, you know, look for the future.
Since you took over, you have always been first and foremost looking out for the student athletes, and you've made a lot of improvements along that line. So with that being said, how have you communicated with the spring sport athletes who have seen their seasons come to an end, and those winter sports athletes, in the case of basketball, both on the men and women's side, almost over, but they still weren't finished? What was the message you gave them?
Well, you know, before they left, and, you know, communication, you know, unfortunately, my communication with them is not direct. I have sent some, you know, direct emails and communication to them about being heartbroken about how this has all panned out for them, especially the seniors, the individuals in basketball and winter sports that didn't have a chance to compete in their championships. But a lot of the communication starts with our coaching staff and my communication to them, or my senior staff's communication to them, and then back to the student athletes. But, you know, I think the athletes need to understand, and I've shared this with them, of, you know, obviously we're in unprecedented times, and you know, it's hard, and this is life. Unfortunately, you know, you get a bad hand dealt to you, and unfortunately this is a bad, you know, hand. And you know, sports, we learn how to face adversity, and this is adversity they have to face in life. And you know, it's just not, you know, athletics, it's our world right now, from people losing their jobs to people not working to, you know, the unknowns as we move forward. So you know, this is a lesson that, you know, we're working through with our student athletes on a day-to-day basis.
On Sunday, the Big 12 announced that it had extended its suspension of activities until May the 31st. You're involved in those phone conversations. What led to that decision?
Well, I think it first came out the 29th, just to give us a couple weeks to look into what's really happening in the world. What does this pandemic really mean? And none of us know, and still don't know. And, you know, I try to make my decisions, Tony, based upon, you know, a few people in the medical field. Clay Marsh, you know, I'll give a shout out to him because he's been instrumental in a lot of decisions, at least from West Virginia, and in my communication, you know, and what's happening in the world. And then, you know, from the NCAA and the conference standpoint, they have some medical, you know, doctors in that field. So it's a matter of looking at, you know, what are we doing? You know, what does the future look like? What does this pandemic look like? And let's make sound decisions off of that. The May 31st date came about, and again, we can always back off that date, but what I didn't want to do, and I don't think the conference wanted to do, is push a date to April 15th, and then shove it to May 1st, and then shove it to May 15th. So let's go out throughout the whole spring semester, and if things do change quickly, which we all hope they do, then we can back off of that date. That's not a set in stone date, it's a date that, you know, our presidents can meet again and back off if they need. However, with the intelligence that we're getting, you know, we're still being told that probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks is when the U.S. is going to see the big spike in the pandemic across the country. You know, you've seen it in New York, I hear California, you hear Georgia. So what does it look like for the rest of the U.S.? And they're telling us that the spike will happen in about 2 or 3 weeks. And then, you know, hopefully starting in May, we can slowly get back to more normal lives. And in June and July, the summer months, hopefully we're back to something of normal life as we'd known it before.
Yeah, so many different pieces to this, but obviously the bottom line is, number first and foremost, it's the safety, right?
It is. And then, you know, you said it earlier, and I got off on another thought, but it's, you know, my thinking hasn't changed. The core values you have to look at, what are we trying to serve? And first and foremost is our student athletes. And, you know, this situation is about the safety of our student athletes, but it's more than the safety of the student athletes, our coaches, our staffs, our community. It's hard. You know, you didn't realize how much sports meant to us. You know, I work in it every day, but you know, the sports fans and so on, how much sports means to our society, and now not having it. I saw somebody tweet that said if there was a wiffle ball game in the neighborhood, they would pay for a ticket to go watch it. So we're all, you know, craving that sports and the entertainment aspect of that, and hopefully we have that back soon.
Rules and regulations are changing, extremely fluid right now. So with the latest stipulations, what are you as an institution allowed to do when it comes to student athletes, nutrition, finances? How is all of that working?
Well, and that's what we've been doing the last, you know, 3 weeks. You talk about, you know, the time we left, you know, Kansas City in the men's basketball tournament in that March 29th date. It's trying to get everybody. The rule book of the NCAA is not written to say, here's what you do in this pandemic and this is how it applies. So what we've had to do over the last several weeks as conference commissioners, as well as the athletic directors of each conference, is try to come up with a pandemic policy that we're all following, you know, pretty closely similar. So that we're, as a Big 12 conference, is doing something similar to the ACC, you know, the Big 10, the Pac-12, the SEC. So we're kind of working from the same sheet. And with that is there are certain things that we can do. So, you know, there's no physical activity, but what we are permitting is the virtual meetings with our student athletes to go through, watch film, do those sort of things. We can send virtual workouts to the student athlete to say, here's what we want you to do. And hopefully they voluntarily do that on their own to stay in shape. So some of that's taken to place. Nutrition, Obviously, they're still on scholarship. They get their off-campus checks. Those who are on campus that went home, we will still provide the scholarship check back to them, so they have the source of income to buy food if they need that. But then on top of that is we look to saying, you know, a lot of our athletes need that extra nutrition. So the energy bars, the supplements, the vitamins, all that now based on our new policy, we can send that. So the whey protein powders, all that the student athletes drink, that we'll be able to send to the student athletes. And we're working through that right now. You know, we also said, you know, limited amount of supplies, meaning the stretch bands, different things, the rollers, foam rollers to work out, we can send those. But, you know, what we don't want is somebody buying a whole new set of weights for a student athlete. Right. So, again, we got to put parameters around what we can do. We're in a very competitive business, and making sure that everybody's doing the same thing as closely as possible was the reason we came up with the policy.
Yeah. On Monday, the NCAA granted an additional year of eligibility for senior athletes who were playing spring sports. Give me your insight into that.
Well, actually, I am part of the NCAA Council. Was on that phone call yesterday that was scheduled for 2 hours, and 3 hours later, we finally got off the call. But, you know, it's a matter of looking at, you know, two situations. One, it was looking at the winter sports, and the winter sports were not granted additional season of competition or extension of the clock. Again, very heartbreaking, you know, gut-wrenching decisions that had to be made. But that was on the basis of 90-something percent of their seasons. In some cases, you know, in basketball, their season was completed in the smaller conferences. So tough decisions, and it can be debated one way or another, but ultimately the vote by the council was that, you know, the winter sports would not be granted that exception. In the spring sports, since they had just started, there was a belief that those student athletes, seniors as well as underclassmen, should have the opportunity to extend their clock or get the season of competition back if they choose to do so. It's permissive legislation, so if they decide to come back, then they have that opportunity to come back. And then for seniors only, there's an element with financial aid, so they could come back and that aid would not count towards the team limits for 1 year. So again, a lot of moving parts to go into this, but you know, that was the right decision to be made. And what you have to understand is, you know, when we make these decisions, it also impacts not only our current student athletes, but it's also impacting the high school student athletes, because if all these students stay around, then there's less spots for the high school student to take because you go back to your squad limits. So it's not as easy as I see some people think on social media, well, just make the decision, it's easy. It's how is it impacting, and unfortunately, somebody's going to get hurt in that process. And what we had to look at is saying, what do we think is best for the student athlete? It's a tough decision. This is what we agreed upon, and that's what we'll move forward with.
School started again this week online here at WVU. What are your reports back as far as student athletes go taking their online classes?
It's early to tell. It's a couple that have talked to Steve Urias, who oversees our academic area, and you know, I think the word that's being used is a little awkward. And so I think the classes that were obviously already scheduled online, they'd had their structure and knew what they were getting into. The classes that weren't online, those professors, you know, have to tailor now that class to an online class. So we're early on in that process, but you know, we'll get through it, but it's a little awkward is what I'm being told right now.
Let's talk money here, and we can go to a bunch of different directions. First off, refunds. Obviously, we had baseball that was in the midst of its season, and the spring football game as well. Where are you at as far as refunds? What do folks need to know?
Well, you know, I think we're almost through that whole process right now. You know, our ticket office has done a great job of looking at those tickets that were purchased, especially those that were purchased on a credit card, and refunding those automatically. If they were purchased through the ticket office in a different manner, there's some loose ends that we're tying up right now to work through that, but the refund process is near completed. And again, unfortunately for not only the fans and our student athletes, but not having that, but it was the right thing to do for the refunds as well, and we're through that.
Has the plan changed in regard to 2020 football season tickets? Where are you at with that?
Well, we're looking at that as we speak, and we've extended the deadline to May 1st for the Chick-fil-A Bowl. That mirrors up with our priority season ticket sales. The thing that we need to look at now is, are we going to extend that date? Again, our ticket office has done a great job. They've worked through a lot of different scenarios. So there could be some news coming out. We still haven't worked all the way through that, but we're looking to say, do we extend that date? And if we do, obviously information will come out from our staff about that and what that looks like. But we feel that that's the right thing to do with everything that's going on. It's just, again, a matter of working through all the logistics and making that happen.
I guess contact information, if folks do want to get in touch, they can go to the standard, right? WVU's 800 number, 1-800-WVU-GAME.
Yes.
If they want to call. And then the email address, wvugame@mail.wvu.edu, and those folks, while they may not literally be in the building, they'll get back to you.
Yeah, and that's the important part. Obviously, they're not in the building and not at their desk as they normally would be, but they are picking up the emails, they are getting the phone calls, that messages are being left, and then you'll be able to have contact with them that way.
Normally, the month of April starts the season of going out and meeting with fans. In April, we go to Charleston for the big event there. And then the month of May, we hit different spots on the caravan. What is that going to start to it's reconstituted now. How's that going to look?
Well, I mean, again, it's a work in progress. We postponed them, and in some situations we'll have to cancel. But it looks like, the caravans itself, and that was an outreach for us to be able to go out and see the fans, have our coaches on the road. It looks like, those will end up being canceled. What we've talked about is having a virtual caravan. So, bring the coaches, stay 6 feet away. But you kind of have a town hall, a caravan, that way that we can open up to everybody. They get to hear from our coaches. I'm sure our coaches are excited to have that, opportunity. But that would be around the same time in the middle of May, which the caravans were scheduled. And so be looking for more information about that as we move forward. But that was kind of our train of thought, is to do something virtually. And then some of the golf tournaments and other MAC events that we have, we'll look at postponing those, whether we can move those into the summer, if that's possible, if the dates are open. So again, it's very fluid, but we're working through those.
Besides wearing the hat as WVU's athletic director, you also serve as the chairman of the Football Oversight Committee. Let's jump into that entire can of worms now. How has your role changed in that regard? I would imagine it's been constant contact.
Yeah, it's constant contact. And what's really changed, Tony, it was, one, we kind of hit pause a little bit here the last couple of weeks because we had to get through the spring. What are we going to do for the spring? And now we got to look at what the summer looks like potentially, and what does next fall look like? So, we worked a little bit with the commissioners to say, what can the spring look like? Unfortunately, the spring season is canceled. And then now we're focusing on June and July. What does that look like, assuming that we're allowed back on campus? And then what does the fall season, August 1st, I'll use when that starts? So, there's a lot of moving parts still, depending on the peaks of this pandemic and when people are allowed back, and monitoring that very closely. But the work has changed in the sense of, things that were priorities before, of reviewing calendars and whether the recruiting calendar was work. That's all set aside. Now we're focused on how do we come back with college football, for the fall. And there's a lot of things being thrown out there that, we hadn't talked about moving the football season back into the summer. I saw that. Then I saw, a lot of other, things that were thrown out. So we're just at the beginning phases of this. And, first and foremost, it goes back to the safety of our student athletes. And when they return, how much time is needed to prepare them to get physically ready for competitions. And we know that's going to take a little bit longer than normal because they haven't been on campus, they haven't been lifting, and they haven't been, running and the conditioning aspect of it. So, if we don't have summer conditioning, what does August now look like? And so, again, it's, you know, our goal is to try to have college football in its normal slot that we currently have it. But, you know, there's a lot of uncontrollable circumstances out there that we have to work through. You know, the big question is if we don't have, you know, it's bigger than football. If campuses are closed, are you still going to have college football? So, you know, the bigger question, higher education, what's higher education going to look like come August? So we'll know more in the coming weeks, but that's what we're working on of trying to work through those issues, of trying to come up with dates and everything that all schools can work through together.
In short, incredibly difficult questions, fundamental questions, and the answers still aren't available.
Right. I mean, it goes back to, you know, my earlier comments that there's not a blueprint to say, you know, if this happens, do this. You know, you have coaches out there, and, you know, this is the other thing. We were fortunate to get at least two practices in spring practice. There's some that had more than two. There's some that had zero. So, you know, not only, you know, you're worried about the conditioning aspect, but you also worry about, you know, who got the advantage of having some workouts, working in systems, defensive, offensive schemes that other schools did not. So how does that work in the summertime? And we'll try to work through that. But if it doesn't happen in the summer, can that happen anywhere in the fall? And so, you know, again, there's going to be situations that we've never encountered before that we have to work through. And we'll try to get everybody as close to the same starting point as we can.
So the conversations are ongoing, but I would imagine that you just have to wait to see where the curve goes before you can realistically make any decisions.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's why, you know, it's important that we stay, you know, close in touch with the NCAA's medical staff, our own medical staff here and across the country, of saying, you know, what does those peaks look like? You know, there's a lot of faith that you have to put in our medical field and the scientists, and maybe there's something in the short term, a vaccine or, you know, something that, you know, will help cure, you know, this virus. So those things are obviously in the process, but you have to look at, you know, when's the peak, when are those going to be lifted, you know, of restrictions of people out socializing, what does that look like? And it's tough decisions. I mean, you let 100 football student athletes, you know, back to train. They go different places at night. You know, what you don't want is them to come back in, and now one student athlete, you know, contracts the virus, and how's that spread to other individuals? And, you know, that's now you have 100 people that you have to quarantine. So, you know, it's very, very touchy topics as we work through this. And you know, we'll get through it, and there's going to be college football being played. It's just a matter of when and how, what that's going to look like.
As we close, what's your message? If you were given the opportunity, here's Mountaineer Nation. What's your message to Mountaineer Nation right now?
Well, I think we're in obviously in unprecedented times. You know, I think that we all have to stay positive as we work through this. You know, it's a daunting, you know, era that we're in right now, and not being able to do the things that we were able to do in the past. And things are taken away from us that we don't have. And you know, to be patient and, you know, listen to the doctors in the medical fields about the social distancing of washing your hands and working through that. Because my understanding is if we do all that, it does flatten the curve, and that gives us more opportunity to get back to normal life faster. If we continue not to do that, then you're going to have the spikes, a lot of unfortunate deaths associated with this. So, you know, my thing is trying to stay positive. And, you know, it's hard, you know, when you're isolated and you're quarantined to your house. You know, thankfully the weather's been somewhat decent, so you can go out and take walks and stay positive. But and that's what we're trying to send to our student athletes. It's really the mental health aspect that I worry about most. Of, you know, those 500 student athletes that compete, you know, they go through, you know, a lot of training. They've done this for 10, 15, 20 years of their lives, and now that's taken away from them. So, you know, we've had a lot of focus, you know, about mental health. We've talked to our coaches about the mental health, but that goes beyond student athletes. That goes for our society as well.
Yeah. So I guess if you can do your part by staying away from people right now, because as you said, the quicker the curve is flattened, the more opportunity we'll have to get whatever it is that we do back and rolling
right.
again.
And that's our hope, is getting back to normal. And, you know, by following, you know, the policies and procedures that had been put in place, and, you know, following the governor's orders and, you know, the government's orders to stay home, obviously those essential needs we have to have, the grocery stores and all that. But, you know, the socializing, if we can flatten that curve, we'll get back to normal life a lot quicker.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best. Stay safe.
Thank you. Let's go Mountaineers.
Athletic Director Shane Lyons, thanks for being with us. A conversation with Shane brought to us by Encova Insurance, encircling you with coverage.